Okay, everybody, side. Today's daf is daf Dalit. And we're holding two lines from the bottom of Gimel Amid Beis. And today's Gemara is going to be something similar to Shulchan Aruch, meaning that we're going to have roughly seven or eight different cases. And each case, the Gemara is going to tell us what the halacha is. In fact, if you look at the Rashi all the way in the bottom, two lines from the bottom, says Rashi, Piske Shmoy saying, Shol kol b'nei ha-yeshiva, Shol yibin midrashi, Shol rav ashi, Shol sidrei ha-gemara. In the yeshivas, they discussed various halachas, various fact scenarios, and we're going to go through each one. The tzad ha-shava shebehen is that we're starting off with a sukkah that has a problem either because it's too tall or because it's too short. It's l'mala mi'esrim amma. Or later we're going to have cases of a sukkah which was less than 10 tvachim. And we're going to try to figure out what do we need to do to kasha the sukkah. So we start off. Two lines from the bottom. Gimel Amid Beis. Hoyse kavoya mi'esrim amma. Now, what would be an easy way, theoretically, of making the schach lower than 20 amas to somehow hold the schach down? But maybe that's not so simple. Maybe it's easier to go and bring the ground up. So what are we going to do? Zok the Gemara. Ubala mata. The first case of the Gemara is the karam v'kastas. Karam v'kastas are using pillows, cushions, mattresses, things of that nature. Says the Gemara, lo yhavim yud. Even though when you put that on the floor of the sukkah, now when you start from the top of the pillow going up to the schach, you have less than 20 amos. Nevertheless, that is not an effective meal. Why? Because the alpha gav the bitlin alikulu, we're on the top of dalid omet aleph. Even if the person says, I'm a vatalid for the entire 7 days, it's still no good. Bishum de butler daite eitzel kol adam. A normal individual would not leave pillows and cushions and mattresses on the ground for people to step on and to sit on and to put tables and chairs on for a full 7 days of sukkahs, because after all, they're going to get ruined, people walking over these cushions and pillows for a full 7 days. So even if this person happens to be a multi-millionaire and he doesn't mind throwing out some pillows after Yom Tov, we go after the regular ordinary individual. The ordinary individual would not leave those types of items on the floor for a 7 day period only to get ruined. Therefore, butler died to eat kolodom, and it is not an effective bittul, and therefore the sukkah remains a non-kosher sukkah unless you put another filler on the floor or you take the schach and bring it down. Now we have a second case which is very similar. Instead of putting cushions on the floor, you put tevin, you put straw on the floor. Now we know that straw is multi-purpose. You can use straw for many different things. Rashi says, for instance, you can go and use straw for animal fodder, or you can go and use it to go and manufacture bricks and things of that nature. So the question is, what did you do with this tevin? It says the Gemara, if you start off with tevin ubitloi, bitloi means, he said, Rabbi Isai, I don't need the tevin for the next 7 days. I'm leaving it here for the next 7 days. I'm mevatel it. He said, bepem mole, I'm not going to use it. Have a meat. Then that is effective. Because in fact, that's what a lot of people do. It's not butler daita it's kolonim. To the contrary, many people would go and use tevin for this type of purpose. The koshkein offer, and offer for sure, because offer is just sand, and sand doesn't have as many purposes as tevin. So if he puts that offer on the ground, and now from the top of the tevin, or on the top of the offer, going to the ceiling, to the schach, you have less than 20 amos, then it's going to be kosher. A kosher is sukkah. Is tevin a bit loy have a meat? Because gain offer a bit loy. For sure offer, because offer is not as multi-purpose as tevin is. That certainly works. Now that works according to everybody. But now we're going to say what happens, a lesser form of bitul, where he didn't say explicitly, I am being mevatel, but rather, was teven vein osla fanoisoi. He's been megaladas, he's told people, I don't really need this teven. So he doesn't say, bepem mole, explicitly, I'm being mevatel it, but it's clear from his actions and from his intents that he has no intention of moving the teven throughout the yontif. The offer stam, or offer is even a lower level of statement. He didn't say anything. He didn't express his thoughts to anyone. He just picked up a wheelbarrow with a bunch of offer, put it down on the ground to hire the ground to, and so that the space between the ground and the schach would be less than 20 amois. What happens in these two cases? By the teven in osla fanoisoi. By the way, although the Gemara doesn't talk about the offer vein osla fanoisoi, but Rashi says kolshke madach teven, which is multi-purpose. As long as you've told people, or at least in your own mind, you say, I don't intend moving it, so then offer certainly it's going to fit within the same category. And the, what's the din then? Now we have Machloikim. Was this an effective filler to go and reduce the space between the floor and between the schach? Where do we find this machloikis? In a totally unrelated area. Did man, we learned in the Mishnah, bayish malo teven oitzroi rois. What happens if your house, you have a house that you filled up with teven or tzroyers? A bit like, state in the Mishnah, mevutu. Bitloy inloy, bitloy loy. Now, what is this Mishnah talking about? So Rashi tells us, we're talking about hilchois tumas oihel. As you all know, there's a rule that if chas v'sholem, adam kiyomus v'oyel, chas v'sholem, a person passes away inside a room, inside a house, anything inside that house, anything inside that room becomes tumay. Now, the question is, does the tumah reside inside that house, or does the tumah burst forward and even go above the house? And for that, the Mishnah Ayholeis tells us it depends. If there happens to be, besides the mess inside the house, there's also space of at least a tefach, then the tumah remains within the oil and does not burst out because it has enough room to spread within the oil itself. If, however, there is no space inside this house, the house is totally full from floor to ceiling, then there's no room for the tumah to spread, and the tumah says, I have to have room. And the tumah is what we call a tumah ritzutza, and it breaks through the ceiling, breaks through the roof, and goes all the way up till Shemayim. Why is that the halacha? It's halacha l'moish misinai. There is no particular logic here, because that's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of Kabbalah Satayim. Okay, so under normal circumstances, when you have a room or you have a house, there's plenty of empty tvachim within the house and within the room, because, after all, you have all the living air space. Here you're talking a person that took this house or this room, and he decided to fill it up for storage. He had a huge amount of teven, or a huge amount of tsroirois, or offer, and he needed to put it somewhere. And he filled up this room from the floor all the way to the ceiling. And unfortunately, there is a mess within this house, within this room. Question is, does the tumah remain in the room because he didn't even leave room for a tefach of space? He filled it till the ceiling is not 1 inch, or at least one tefach of open area inside the house. Do I say that the tumah resides in the house, or do I say that the tumah is v'kas v'oila? And that depends now on what the exact facts situation was, and what Rabbi Yosi and Rabbanan hold. Is Nachmuz, not in the fourth line of the Amid. Ba'ish Malo Tevin, he filled it up with Tevin with straw. Oitzroirois, or he filled it up with pebbles, which Rashi says is the equivalent of the offer that we spoke about before. Upitloi, and he said, Befedish, I am Mavatal Tevin, I am Mavatal Troyes, I'm leaving it here. Then Mavuto, it's considered to be bottled. and therefore since it becomes bottle, it is filling up effectively this room or this house, so that there is no space, and the tumah therefore will not stay inside the house, but it's going to be by kasva oila until the shemayim. As we state in the Mishnah, let's just take a quick look at the Rashi, so you shouldn't think I'm making all of this up. If you go two or three lines lower in the Rashi, you'll see Hachi Garsinan, actually about 10-12 lines from the top of the Amud. Hachi Garsinan, Maish below, Tevin, Yitzroid is a bit like, well, in you know, Yeholis Tanan, in Mesechta Say Holis, Lagabi, and Oil Ames, the Tumashi Yeshla Oil Chalal Tefach, if there's a space opening of a Tefach, Ein of a Kasla Malam and Agag, and the tumah resides inside that room, inside the house. There's no space between Nevach the Mess and until the ceiling. There's not one inch, or at least one tefach of ear space. Then the tumah bursts forth, the bekas v'oila, until rakia, until upstairs in Shemayim. If you have Nebuchadnezzar, Umelu Teben Oitzroiris, and they filled up that room with Teben Oitzroiris, a bit like Havi Ritzutsu, because since there's no room for the tumah to spread out in the room, it spreads all the way up to Shemayim. Avaloi Bitli, Havi Kimadapanya, Vyesh Lachol. But if he was not Mavatal it, in other words, even though temporarily this Teben and Tzroiris and Offer, if he wasn't Mavatal it, Kimadapanya, it's as if he's going to take the straw out, eventually he's going to take the offer out. You don't want to go and waste precious real estate by using it for storage of tevin. So eventually it's going to come out. It's called oim made litoil kinotl dummy, and it's as if there is plenty of space, and therefore the tumah remains inside the house and doesn't go out. As we've spoken from time to time, this unfortunately is a frequent shaila that happens nowadays. Before you get to your question, this is unfortunately it's a modern day shaila that happens all the time, that Rachman Litzlan, they take mesim from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael on flights, so Kehanim have to be very concerned about flying on those planes together with the mess, and therefore the Rabbanut in Eretz Yisrael invented a special type of box that they put around the coffin, around the Oroin, where it has a din of Peseach Tefach. There is a Halal Tefach inside the outer box, so that the tumor remains in the box, and therefore it doesn't burst upwards and downwards, stays within the box together with the mess.
The box itself,
it depends. They don't want to open up to tamper inside, because inside, when you go and take a mess for 24 or 48 hours, they usually fill it up with dry ice and things of that nature. So in fact, it could be pretty full, but they're not going to open it up because it's all with nails and with screws. So they build a box on top of it.
The iron, either way, could have its own tumor going with the dosing possibly.
Oh,
okay. What is very good?
Yeah.
I understood that Rashi says in the Mishnah Yashvul.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason why Rashi says Yashvul is because otherwise it may be a problem of the Tasvar Emanus.
Right.
So the ice is not, you can't pick it up from the bottom. Here we're talking about that.
What happens you do before Yom Tov, and you're okay? You're talking about during Yom Tov, this Hassel and also, that could be a very good question. Here we're talking about if it's before Yom Tov, then you don't have a problem.
He did it Erev Yom Tov.
Not Mavatel. Erev Yom Tov, the Ruv is Gekim, he's like, hey, this is Tzihoy Toynish. So he immediately brought in all the offer, all the cash, and he put it on the floor before Yom Tov. So you don't have a problem with Tasman and Hussein. So getting back to Agimore.
Then why does Rashi say Yashvul?
Rashi wants to be Makat. Rashi said, Goyle Mishana Udam, the Talmid, the Derech Ksura. You can be Mashbul, you can be Meroimim. You can do it either way. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so we had the first Mishnah. So now the Gemara is Medayik. You have to be Mevatalit. Bipem Mole. Bitloy Inloy Bitloy Loy.
On the bottom, yeah. It's only good. The Bitloy.
Avada.
No Shulchan
Nefesh. Avada.
My mind is still Kalam.
Exactly. And there's no Shalit. And you don't have any Shalit. talking about Vitani Allah. Now that's what we had in the Mishnah. Now we have a Braisa. Look, Vitani Allah. We learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Yosi Oimer, Tevin, the Ein Oslofanoi say, Hari Huka offer Stam Ubatel. Says Rabbi Yosi, you don't have to say, the Pem Moloi, I hereby am Mevatel the Tevin. It's enough that he has in mind that I'm not going to remove it. In other words, he didn't say anything. He may have told people around him, you should know I don't need this Tevin. Maybe he did express himself, maybe he didn't express himself. But one thing is certain, he didn't say, the Pem Moloi, I am Mevatel it. Says Rabbi Yosi, that's still good enough. You don't have to be mevatel it with a positive expressed statement. The intention of leaving it there, dusha shenganuk, and therefore it's bottle. And therefore the same case by Unz in the Mishnah. Couldn't Rabbi Yosi, if he put down the tevet on the ground, or he put offer stam on the ground, automatically we assume he's going to leave it there by the offer, and the same thing by the tevet, he has told people that he knows that he's not going to be mafanit, and therefore it's an effective bittul, and this will be a kosher sukkah from now and on. Offer the osel lefanoi soy. What happens if he put down offer and he intends removing it? Hariu kistam tevet veloi bottle. Oh, it's the other way around now. If you have offer and he does intend removing it within the next 7 days, so he leaves it for the first days of Yontif. And then he says, Chol HaMoed, I'm going to go and take it away. That's not going to help even with the first days of Yontif. It's got to be a bittul for all seven. And it doesn't have to be an express bittul, says Rabbi Yosi. If you can tell from the circumstances that he intends leaving it, that is good. However, if he tells people, I'm taking this offer, I'm going to need it Chol HaMoed for whatever purpose, are you kistam tevin v'lei bottle? Itake is not bottle after all. Why is that the case?
Comes young, it's less than 20 hours.
Because the sukkah, when you construct it, has to be basukkah seish v'shivas yomim. It's got to be a diras aroi for all 7 days. That's why the top Rashi says gavgav linu l'chol shiva. It's got to be a 7 day thing. Second line of Rashi, tevin a bit lebetiv l'shiva. It's got to be 7 day period. So for 1 day, 2 days, health mission. Just for 7 days. Exactly, from the pusik. Exactly. Good. So anyway, no problem. So we stop. So if the bottom line is, we have now three rules when it comes to Tevin and to Ofar. If you look at the next Rashi, which is halfway down the Amud, Tevin, Bein Osel Fanoise, Harikistam Ofaru Bottle, go to the end of that Rashi, and it's roughly 6-7 lines before the end of the Rashi. So Rashi says, Alma, I hope everybody has that. It's towards the end of that Rashi, 6-7 lines before the end. Alma the tevin u bitloi, offer a bitloi, kula moide the bottle. In the case where he has tevin, he has straw. Or he has offer and he says, Befeish, I'm a vatlet. Everybody holds that this works, and now the sukkah is a great sukkah, no problem. Tevin stam, the offer, the oslefan noisoi, if you have a case of tevin stam where he didn't say anything, and normally tevin is used for all types of purposes, the offer, the oslefan noisoi, or offer where he says, Rabbi Yisai, I'm going to take it away during Chol HaMoed, to call the Amaloid bottle. Everybody would agree this would not be an effective filler, and the sukkah is possible. Tevin, the Ein Oslefan noisoi, if he has tevin, where he didn't say anything express, but his intention was to leave it there for Yontif for the whole 7 days. To offer ki yoytzibay, similarly offer, or afil offer stam, where he didn't have any intention whatsoever. But offer b'derech klal, people don't have an immediate need for the sand and for the dirt. That's a machlokes Rabbi Yosi. That's the machlokes, and then Rabbi Yosi holds it as bottle, and it would be a kushra zikah. And according to Rabbanan, it would not be a kushra zikah. Okay, on to the next case. We're about 10 lines from the top of the Amid. You have tons of schach on top of the sukkah. The schach is all higher than 20 amas, which we said in our Mishnah is possible according to the Rabbanan. However, they're hutzin. Hutzin means some of the bamboos, some of the branches are sticking down below, beneath the 20 amma line. And guess what? Those hutzin which are sticking down below are quite thick. Somebody had a question?
You're saying your internet connection is spotty.
Oh, but you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, I'll try to scream a little bit louder so maybe you can hear all the way from here to the west side. Anyway, so it says hutin are yordim betoich chof ama. The hutin are coming lower than the 20 amas, and it's very, very thick at that point. In other words, let's say it's at the 19 amma line from the ground till the schach, and tziltzimaru mechamasan. It is so thick that forget about the schach at the very top of the sukkah on 20 and 21 amas. Forget about it. There's enough hutzin coming down because the tzeil is so strong, or it's so intense, that it does the trick even without the upper schach. Then ksheira, then of course it's kosher, because I don't need the upper schach. Forget about it. The hutzin coming down is already enough on its own. V'imlav, however, if those hutzin only do a partial job of tzeil, it's chamosan merubah metzilosan, then it's possible. Now that's pretty straightforward. But the question is, what about the reverse case? What's the reverse? What happens if my sukkah is only 10 tvachim tall? And we said in the Mishnah that if as long as it's 10 tvachim, it's kosher. Less than 10 tvachim, it's not kosher. Now what happens? And coming down from the schach, you have these hutzin sticking out. So Rabbi said, let's use our own sense and logic. In this case, fakert. Im chamasan meruba mitzilasan, then it'll be ksheira. Because if the chamas meruba mitzilasan means it's very, very sparse, only little shtickle hutzen here and there and everywhere, it's just really gunish. So go and ignore all of that. We go back to the regular schach. The regular schach is on top of 10 tvachim, so it's a kosher sukkah because it's 10 tvachim.
How are you mishal that?
What do you mean, how are you mishal? Whether it's tzilasan meruba mitzilasan?
You have a full schach.
Yeah, yeah.
You have the hutzin coming down.
Right.
How are you messiah with the hutzin?
If the hutzin are very sparse, a shtickle here, a shtickle there, a shtickle there.
So you're assuming that's
it. Everything is based on assumption, assessment, estimation. You figure out, yeah, exactly. If it's very, very thick down below, then you assume, even without the top, it'll be a good, effective tzeil. On the other hand, if you see it's only shtiklach here, shtiklach there, it's not going to be effective. So Abaye said, it's fine. What Abaye left unmentioned was that if it will be tziltzon, meruba, mechamason, it's really good, starke schach, then we're in trouble. Because now the schach is at the 9 tefach line, and therefore the sukkah will be passed. But if it's just sparse, a shtickle here, a shtickle there, then we're okay, it's kosher, because forget about all that, we go to the regular schach, which is 10 tefachim from the ground. Amalei Rav, so Rav said to Abaye, in terms of the schach, you made a very logical point. But I got another problem. Hadira seruchahi, vein odom dor bedira serucha. The word serucha literally means that it has a bad odor. But we don't mean odor over here. We mean that it's a repulsive type of sukkah because it's very uncomfortable. It's bad enough with 10 tvachim from the ground where you have to be bent over double to be able to walk through. But can you imagine once you're walking through all of this bamboo sticks and all this straw and all of the branches are going into your eyes, into your nose. It's terrible.
It's not nice.
A person can't live under those circumstances. So therefore, it's not ima dira saroi, and it's gunish vet, and it's not a kosher sukkah. Next shtickle. How you think about me as Ramama? It's higher than 20 amas. So bana ba itzva kineged doifan am tzoy al pnei kula. Itzva means a platform. And that platform, he built, what I call a ledge. It comes from the ground. It's a solid piece, like a solid block. And it goes up, lamashal, one amma, two amas. And then if you sit or stand on top of that itzva, and you go measure from the top of the itzva all the way to the top, to the schach, it's no longer 20 amas. It's only 19 or 18 amos. So now, from the bottom, from that itzva, all the way to the top, that's certainly good. That's, it has to have, of course, like the Gemara says, the yeshba hechshir sukkah. It has to have the minimum dimensions of a sukkah. What are the minimum dimensions? Where he had a machloikis? I'm sorry? Oh, so Rabbi Yosef has told us that yesterday we said in the Gemara that the halacha is it has to be kdei roishay verubay v'shulchanay, which Rashi said yesterday means zayin tvachim. Rashi today says zayin tvachim umashahu, a little bit more than seven tvachim. Is no, doesn't seem to, the two Rashi seem to be inconsistent. So the Marashah says, in fact, in the back, he has no answer why Rashi said yesterday shivat tvachim and today he says shivat tvachim umashahu. Rashi repeats this again on the Omid days, but regardless, let's talk about seven tvachim. If the size of this itzva is that it is seven tvachim by seven tvachim, and it is high enough from the ground that if you go to the top of the itzva and from there measure to the roof, to the schach, it's less than 20 amis, it's kushim yushar. Not only that, says Rashi, but even that part of the sukkah that goes beyond the itzvah. Now, where is it? Where is the itzvah? It's connected doifanu amtsoi, which means you have only three doifanois, only three walls. And Rashi says you don't need more than three min ha-toyra, like we learned in the first Mishnah. If you have three walls and you put them in the back of the sukkah, against the back wall, so therefore the itzvah goes, it covers the back wall and it extends from the right wall to the left wall, from the left wall to the right wall. All three walls are involved in that itztaba, so you have a mini sukkah which is kosher. Then even in front of it, where you don't have the benefit of itztaba, says Rashi, will also be kosher because it'll be an extension of a kosher sukkah. Rashi refers to it as pesel hayoytzim in a sukkah, which we're going to have later on in our mesechta, that if you have a kosher sukkah and then you have pesel, you have additional schach extending outside of the sukkah, you have long bamboos. Not only does it cover the entire sukkah, but it goes beyond the sukkah. You could technically sit underneath the bamboo outside the sukkah and still be yoitz in the midst of sukkah because it's an extension of the sukkah. That's not our sugya today, but Rashi says therefore that the front of the sukkah, which doesn't have the benefit of the itztaba, would also be kosher. Now what happens if instead of having the itzva in the back of the sukkah, you have min hatzad on the side of the sukkah, so therefore it's against one wall, the moshel, the right wall, it extends all the way to the back wall, but I don't have three walls. Oy, 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 what am I going to do? If going from that platform, you now walk or measure from there to the third wall, which doesn't have the itztaba next to it, if it's dalet amis or more, it's possible. The reason why it's possible is because although from the itztaba up to the schach is less than 20 amis, but it don't have three walls, because the other wall is far away. It's dalet amis. It's as if it's in China. I need three walls for this. Okay, I only got two. But pachas me'arba amis, if the distance from the itztaba to the third wall is less than arba amis, it's kosher. What's the reason why? My kamashulam diamrinan doifen akuma. We say doifen akuma. What means doifen akuma? This halacha l'moshe v'sinai, which is very novel to mesechtes sukkah, and that is that in cases where you have spotty schach or non-kosher schach next to a wall, what you can do at times is you can look upon that schach on top of the sukkah as if it happens to be an extension of the wall itself, where you have a crooked wall instead of having a vertical wall, and then horizontally you have schach on the top of the sukkah. We deem the schach, which is right next to the wall, as if it's part of the wall, and the wall is ibi geboyim, means that the wall has a hunchback and it's bent over. It's doifen akuma. And therefore the Gemara is saying that's what we're going to use here, that same principle. That even though the wall which is holding up the sukkah is higher than 20 amos, and that's why the schach is higher than 20 amos, you know what I'm going to do? Assuming that the schach, the space from the itztaba to the next wall is less than 4 amos, I'm going to deem that wall with the schach on top as being a bent over crooked wall, where that wall begins at the end of the itztaba, and therefore I have now three full walls. I have the two walls which were there originally because the itztaba is next to those two walls, and I have the benefit of the third wall which has now been moved closer. I've pushed the wall towards the itztaba by using this principle of doifen akuma, so it's as if that doifen akuma ends and starts where the itztaba ends. So I'm fine. But here, as different than we said before, you would not be able to go and be yoitz and mitzvah sukkah in that open area because there's no schach there. You have a doif and a kuma over your head, you don't have schach over your head. So you'd only be able to go and sit in the sukkah on the itztaba portion. Now, Frank Timur, if that's what you're coming to tell me by this halacha that you're employing Toifen Akuma, Tanina, this is a Chambafedish in Mishnah. We know this halacha. Where do we know this halacha? Later on, Daf Yud Zayin, there's a Mishnah that says, Bayish and Nifchas, Vesikach Al Gabav. What happens if you have a house where the top, the roof, or the ceiling, smack in the middle, there was a hole, part of it fell in, it collapsed, and now you have an open area on your in your roof. You intend, of course, eventually to fix it, but it conveniently this comes out Sukkot time. I'm a chayyeh. I have a brand new sukkah, the four walls of my house, and I have the opening in the roof. Yeah, but of course the question is, do I have walls to the sukkah? To have walls to the sukkah means that I have to push the wall somehow towards the opening there inside the ceiling. So what do I do? If the distance from the hole in the ceiling to the nearby walls is four amos or more, it's possible, because it's deemed to be just a loch, just a hole in the wall or a hole in the ceiling. You don't have four walls or even three walls in the sukkah. However, if you have at least three walls in the house which are less than four amos next to that hole, then ksheira. Why would it be kosher? Because I'm going to employ the svara of doifen akuma. What means doifen akuma? That even though the remaining ceiling on the top of the house is not kosher schach, it happens to be just regular mortar and cement and chvais and wood and whatever, and it's not kosher b'schach. Who cares? That's going to be part of the bent over wall, the doifen akuma. And as long as it's less than dalet ames, we have this principle of doifen akuma. So therefore, I have now a wall which, in fact, extends all the way to the hole in the ceiling. That wall is three ames, three and a half ames away. I deem it as if it happens to be connecting to that hole, because the ceiling part is just an extension of the wall. So I have that halacha over there. Why do I have to repeat this halacha over here? So my mouth is saying, I would think, there I have a proper wall. The wall is a fine wall. The only problem is I have to move it over somehow to the hole. So by employing this concept of doifen akuma, I'm saying now, taka, the wall goes all the way to the hole. Over here I got a problem. What's my problem? That the doifen is more than 20 amas tall, because the schach is more than 20 amas from the ground. So I have to go and transform this doifen into a kosher doifen. Hey Maloy, I would think I cannot use the concept of doifen akuma to kasher this wall. Kamash Malon, no, even in this case you can go and say doifen akuma. Next case. The schach of the sukkah is higher than 20 amas from the ground. Instead of building the platform against the wall, we built the platform smack in the middle of the sukkah. On the bottom. In the middle of the sukkah. You have, as you're walking into the sukkah, you notice, hey, that's very strange. There's a platform right there in the middle. Make sure not to trip over it, not to fall over it. Okay, so you have the same concept as before. If from the itzba, so from the top of the itzba to the top of the schach is less than 20 amas. So if you're standing or sitting on top of the itzba, Baruch Hashem, less than 20. But I got to have three defanois. I got to have three walls. If the distance between the middle platform there to each one of the walls is four amos or more, so that's possible, because I don't employ the logic or the halacha of doifen akuma. However, if it's less than four amos, then it's ksheira. Why, my kamashman? Don't mean doifen akuma. That you do say doifen akuma. Didn't we just say that 2 minutes ago? Why are we repeating ourselves? What are we doing? What we're doing is, in this sukkah, where you have on all four sides, or all three sides, where you have all the tefanis, you're telling me that those tefanis have to be higher than 20 amas, and what I'm going to do is, since I have an itzvah smack in the middle, if from the itzvah to each one of the walls is less than 4 amas, I'm going to deem the schach on top of this sukkah not to be schach. but there has to be the continuation, the extension of a crooked wall. So I have three crooked walls from all three sides, and guess what? In each case they happen to be less than four amois from the middle, from the istaba, it's kosher. So I'm employing the halacha of Neufer Hakim. So my kamashula. Everyone, hainahach. I'm reading the Neufer Hakim, hainahach. Isn't that exactly the same as the previous case? I might have thought, when do we employ the din of Doifan Akuma? Only in the case of, he had Itztaba min Hatzad, where two walls were good, I'm only going and adding a third wall. But to go and kasher every single one, every wall in this sukkah is parcel. To make him kosher, I have to go and say Doifan Akuma from the right, and Doifan Akuma from the left, and Doifan Akuma from the back, and from the front.
That's Doifan Akuma.
I understand, but maybe you can only say one Doifan Akuma per sukkah. You can't go and overdo this concept of Doifan Akuma. After all, Doifan Akuma is a great, it's a very novel chidush. So I would think maybe you can only employ it one per sukkah. Come to say you can even have three Doifan Akumas, even four Doifan Akumas, as long as the Doifan is less than four amas from the middle. It's
I think just to tell Avi,
yes,
there's a word that says that you can't use two, at least it's not like that, you can't use two kilos.
Okay.
What? Yeah, but it's one zakhi. Yeah, you can't use two different. You can't. I don't know. You can't use two
atayrim.
Two atayrim. So over here, maybe we did that. No, you have to say it's that. I just think something. If the wall was higher, for instance, 30 amps.
Yeah.
When you're going to say that for Akiva, it's still. It becomes too far, yeah, because it's you only have four, you can only make four amps. So what happens with the other six amps of the wall?
As long as the distance from the istaba to the wall is less than four amps.
Yeah, so we say that like him.
And therefore,
the wall. So, but the wall is 30. But the wall.
The 100 amps
has to be 20. But 20 is the height of the sinking, right? So we're now bending over from 20 arm. We're bending over.
Correct.
We're bending over.
Still remains 20 amas at the top.
Yeah, but it's maybe they're covering the sikkah. If you're saying they're keep, maybe it's covering the sikkah, maybe it's not covering the sikkah, and it's what happens to the rest of the other six amas? You said that from Akima, right? You're saying that from Akima.
Yeah.
So the that from Akima, here's the
this
interval.
Is 20 and this is 4.
Yeah, but what happens? This becomes wonderful. What happens? This is wonderful.
19.8.
But this was 30. So this was 20. This, let's say this is 30. The top over here is 10. Now turning over this way is 10. What happens to this whole 10? He only has. It's much further than 4. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm not exactly sure.
Okay.
Give me the extra gemara. You have your. This toifen is more than 20 toes, right? According to you, it's 30 toes. Fine. We're not going to be able to reduce it. We're going to leave it at its height. If this is less, this is the istaba, from here to here, is less than 4 amas, what we're doing is we're saying that the top, and this is just a wall. A wall can be up to 100 amas tall, or even 1,000 amas tall. Just a schach should not be higher than 20 amas. This is no longer schach. This is now wall. And therefore, the wall is now, as a result of the Akima, smack here, right next to it. I'm moving it over now to the itztaba, and even though this is a puzzle wall in terms of the wall being too tall, I could care less, because there's no hilchis doif, and there's only hilchis schach. So I have kusha schach on this side, kusha schach on this side. Just over here, it's just a wall. So the wall can be as, take for instance your sikkah. Most people nowadays, when they make the sikkahs outside, we're not talking about the fancy Buru Park ones, which are inside the living room or inside whatever. Those that happen to be outside. So you use one of the walls of the house, two walls of the house, and then you add another one or two walls, and you put schach on top. One of the walls is going up to achvais, two stories, three stories. If I do it in my apartment building, it would be achvais 5,000 amas. It's very, very tall. How can you do that? The doifen is more than 20. There's no isser in the doifen being more than 20. It's just that the schach can be more than 20. So I take this doifen and I say that the schach, which is 21 amas, 31 amas, 51 amas from the ground, it's not a schach. It's a doifen. Doifen can go all the way to Shemayim. It doesn't matter. Just that the schach should not be higher than the 20 amas. And this doifen now is moved over based on doifen akuma, then starting from the isser. Okay, three lines in the bottom, but it's the next case. we had a mini sukkah which was lower than 10 tefachim from the ground. So instead of raising Yagbiya, like Rashi said in the beginning, raising the schach, we're going to lower the ground level. We dug up down below, and now Baruch Hashem, from the top of the sukkah down to below, there's more than 10 tefachim. Now the question is, I didn't dig up the entire sukkah, because that's a big, big arbit, and I didn't have any help, so I couldn't do it. But I did make at least a space there in the middle, which was at least Zion by Zion, or Dalit by Dalit, so it was a kosher sukkah there in the middle. The problem is, what about to the right and to the left? So here, in Yesh Mitzvah Chakak, if from the where I've dug out down below to the koisel three tvachim or more, it's possible, because they don't employ the concept of lovut. If it's less than three tvachim, then I do employ the svara of lovut, like Rashi says at the very top of the omid, lovut alocha l'moishim yisinai. And what have I done now? So I've moved the walls from this house, or from this sukkah, I moved it closer to the middle, where down in the middle we said already there's a proper 10 tefachim or more space from that indentation in the ground, that hole in the ground, to the schach. So I moved them over based on the concept of lovud, and everything is kusha v'yusha. Now, the concepts are similar to the previous Gemara, but it's interesting. The previous Gemara, when we were talking about the pasul schach, we were talking about arba amis and less than arba amis. And here we're talking about three tvachim and less than three tvachim. Manishtana. Maishna has in the amis pachim the arba amis. O maishna hacha the amis pachim mishloisha tvachim. Every more hasim the isa ledoifin pachis me arba amis sagya. In the case of your sukkah where you had an itztaba in the middle, your problem was that the doifin was removed from that itztaba and the height of the schach was more than 20 amis. But I had a doifin. The doifin was a kusher doifin. A doifin which is 10 tvachim or taller is by definition a doifin. It may have problems because the schach on top is the mal miyasr mamah. But the doifin is a kusher doifin. So since I had a doifin, pochim me arba amis sagya. Even though it's 3.9 amis removed from the itztaba, that's good because I have a present doifin. Hacha, in our case, where the doifanois were less than 10 tvachim tall, l'shavir doifin, I want to create a halachic doifin. What do you mean I want to create a halachic? Because until now, each one of those doifanois are only 9 tvachim tall. Sinishka doifin, it's a midget, it's zgunished. So if I want to create a doifin, then if it's bach mishloisha tvachim, if it's within 3 tvachim, I employ the svara of the halacha of lovud. And therefore, it's as if the doifin now moved over to the indentation in the ground, and therefore I now have Baruch Hashem three defanas from all sides, and from the lower level of the ground where I dug out to the schach, I now have more than 10 tefachim, and therefore it's kosher. So therefore, if hachad l'shav yedoifin litoifin pachad v'shloish yedoifin, and if it's less than 3 tefachim is good, eloi, if it's not a doifin, I want to create a doifin, then it's got to be within 3 tefachim. I don't say the din of less than 4 amas. Next case. What happens if the sukkah was higher than 20 amps? Ubana ba umud, and he built in the middle an umud, a pillar, which was 10 tvachim from the ground. Now obviously you can't sit in the middle of an omud. So Rashi explains, we're talking about that the dimensions of the omud down below within the 10 tvachim are all either 7x7 tvachim or 4x4 amos lamoshel, where that would be the space, the area is great, but I can't sit in the middle of an omud. But on top of the omud, yesh bo hechsher sukkah, meaning that because this omud happens to be, let's say, 7x7 length and width, so then on top of it we have a similar space which is open, and from there to the top of the schach is less than 20 amos. So I want to know whether that would be good that on top of that omud, if I could go and take a ladder and go and climb to the top of the omud and sit on top of that omud, which is 7x7 and it's less than 20 amos to the ceiling, am I okay or am I not okay?
What's the difference between omud and itztaba?
The substance, the because your question is why
in the case of it's a panel, it's had a floor, has a whole wall.
You're asking an excellent question. The Gemara doesn't address it. Rashi says it as oi bekitzur. In the previous case of the Itzdaba, the Gemara said we look as whether it is four amis from to the next wall or not. If it's less than four amis, it's a doifin akuma, and then that it's as if the doifin started at the makam itzva and it's kushav yusha. Here we're talking with Rashi that there's a merchik to the walls, and since if you look at Rashi, bono va omid gavoya asara, about a quarter down the omid, rochik minatvanis harbi, it's far away, so we cannot employ over here the concept of doifin akuma. So how are we going to go and make this omid kosher? Because even though on top of the omid I have 7x7, but I don't have any tvanis because the nearest doifin is 10 amis away. We're going to use now a new concept, and this concept of good asik mechitzta. Good asik mechitzta means that on occasion the halacha Moshe Messina allows you to build invisible virtual walls. The word virtual has become so much more accepted in terminology ever since Nebuch COVID. We know what virtual means. There really is no wall around it, but halachically we deem the walls of the Omer down below as if they go up and they are enclosing the space up above, and that will be the doifin, not real doifanis, not physical doifanis, but halachic doifanis. So Gemara wants to know, does that work or not? Can you say good asik? Zokimar. Again, on top of the omid, there's a hechsher sukkah of 7x7. So, Rabbi Lemeimar, good asik mechitzta, we should deem there as if the lower walls of the omid are now magically going upward, and therefore I have an enclosure of three defanois. Here, virtual walls don't help. Here, you have to have real walls. Now, why doesn't it help over here? Why does it help Lemushal Legabi Hilchas Erevin, Legabi Hilchas Shabbos? Because over there, we're not living inside a space. We're just trying to construct an Erev or Machitzois for purpose of being able to carry. Here, we're talking about living in a sukkah, but sukkah is teish v'shim v'syam. You can't live in virtual walls, you have to have real walls for a sukkah. So virtual walls don't do the trick, and if it says Rava, it will not be kosher. Tana Rabbanan, let's see the next case. Noatz arbo kundisin v'sikech al gabon. The person goes up to his roof. That was a convenient place to build his sukkah because he doesn't have a backyard, he doesn't have a front yard. He goes on top of the roof and he takes four poles and he sticks them into the roof. We'll see in a moment where on the roof did he stick these four kedisim, but he put up these four kedisim and he put schach on top. The problem is these are only four poles. There are no doifanis. So therefore, on all sides it's open. You have the four poles and you have schach on top. Rabbi Yankiv said, it's still kosher. The Chum Poyz, the Chum say, you don't have a sukkah over here, you just got four poles. Om Rav Una, where is the machloik between Rabbi Yankiv and the Chacham? Machloik is al tzvas hagai. Machloik is where the four kedisin are in the four corners of the roof up above. The Rabbi Yankiv sover amrinan good asik mechitzta. Rabbi Yankiv says, we look upon the walls of the house down below as if they protrude upwards and they enclose the entire sukkah. So even though these are virtual walls, it's still a kushra sikkah. And not like we said a moment ago that mechitzas nikaris. Here the Gemara, at least according to Rabbi Yankiv, holds you don't need mechitzas nikaris. Why don't you have to have mechitzas nikaris? Says Rashi. When do you say mechitzas nikaris when you're talking about an omud when you don't really have the fanois? So you have to come on to two things. You have to go and say that the omud has walls. I mean, it's really one block, one large omud. No, there are walls there. And now you deem these walls to go up virtually as if they've... It's already kind of a stretch. It's a little bit more remote. Here we're talking about a proper house. The house has, Baruch Hashem, been standing for the last 50, 100 years. Beautiful walls from all four sides. All I have to do is push them up by using the concept of good asik mechitzta, and therefore Rabbi Yankiv says, here you don't need mechitzas nikaris, I have the mechitzas nikaris down below, and therefore that helps us even on top. That's Rabbi Yankov. Om Rav Unma Klikas Vase. Gag Rabbi Yankov Sova Amrim Good Asa Mechitza. Rabbanan Sabi Loimin Good Asa Mechitza. Now even here the Chacham said you gotta have Mechitza in the chorus. You gotta have walls, not virtuals. But what happens Be'emtza Gag? What happens if you put these four poles in the middle of the roof, not on the four sides, to be Yakov Psula? Because everybody would agree you don't have the benefit of Good Asa Mechitza, because even if you said Good Asa Mechitza, it would still be Rochak. It would still be far away from the poles in the middle. It would be poles away from the poles which are on top of the roof. See, it's possible. Rav Nachman Amar b'emtza gag machloik is no, the machloik is Rabbi Yankov, and the chum is in the middle of the gag. Now, Rav Nachman doesn't comment what about the sides of the gag, svasa gag. Is he boilu? What would Rav Nachman hold? The emtza gag machloik is al svasa gag to be a kok sheira. Does he hold that only the emtza gag is a machloik? But svasa gag, everybody would hold that you have the benefit of good asik machitsta, and therefore it's kushin. Maybe he means to say the machloik is not only by svas, but also in the middle. Rav Huna said in the middle kulyal moide that it's possible. So Rav Nachman, no, that maybe in both cases, both the emtz and svas, all cases are the same machloikus. So Gemara teiku tishbi yataris. We don't know what Rav Nachman really held the gabi svasagak. But now the Gemara is going to challenge Rav Huna. Remember, Rav Huna is the one that said if it's machloikus as svas hagag. But the emtza kuli alamoyde that it's possible. Frank to one mason. No, it's dal kundisim ba'aretz. Oh, we are now going from the roof down to the ground, down to terra firma down below, and he put down dal kundisim ba'aretz. Vezika chalgam, he put a tzchach on top. Same machlokes again. Yaakov machshav chavon poistim. Frank to one ba'aretz tiki emtza gag dami. Become machshav of Yankiv. If you're talking about down below, there are no walls to any house. When you're talking about putting it on top of the roof, then you can talk about your God good asik mechitza, nish good asik mechitza. But now you have on level ground, you put up four poles, then you don't have the benefit of good asik. And you see that there's the machloikis of Yankiv and the Chacham. Is that clear that the machloikis between Rabbi Yankiv and the Chacham is at least in the case of Emtza, perhaps, also in the case of Svas, I don't know. But at least for Emtza, God, there's a machloikis. And Rav Huna said before, Kuli Alma Moidu, that it's possible that it's be Emtza HaGag. Rav Huna, you have to take it, Rav Huna is take Ogefret. But the obvious question is, but how in fact does that work? If you only have four poles, how could your Bianca be machshirit? You only got four poles, there are no walls. So we're going to address that in Miyat Hashem in another few lines, and we're going to talk about the Yumdin. Wait till we get to Miyat Hashem. So that was kasha number one on Rav Huna. Now there's a, the Gemara asked, do I have a second kasha? Yes. Yes, Brother Shai, you don't need it. Just like you say, the connection from here to you is not so good. Your connection is not so good to us either. You have to scream a little bit louder, Shai, because I can't hear you from the west side. Brother Shai, do you hear me?
No, I did, but I did before.
Okay, but I didn't hear you. What's your question?
No, I said, why are we bringing in the whole issue of Kundasin? When we should just say the machitza, the walls themselves go up. How does that help us?
It helps us. The walls are good. Good asking machitza is helpful to make the fanas. But if you only have virtual walls, you don't have real walls, who's going to hold the schach up? You can't go and have virtual schach. You got to have real schach. And you have to have something holding up the schach. So you have the four poles that are holding up the schach.
Okay.
We're good?
Yes.
It's fine. So we go right there. Now the Gemara asks, the poles do not help for the defan, at least at this point. At this point, the Gemara assumes that the poles accomplish nothing other than holding up the schach. But the Gemara is going to address that in Miyat Hashem in another couple of minutes, as soon as we get to it, another few lines. Miyat Hashem will get to that. Now the Gemara wants to know, do I have a double kasha? Remember, Rav Huna said that the machloikis between Rabbi Yankov and Chacham is exclusively al svasagag, but in the middle, kuli alma moide, that is possible. Now, the second part, that the kuli alma moide, that's possible, we have already, just what this hogifrate, we have said that that is wrong. We refuted it based on a brisa that says that the same machloikis is kundisin al ha'aretz. But now the question is, what about the svasagag? V'oit. The emtza gag who depligi al svasa gag lechoyde divi hakok sheira. Since this brisa said that if the dalit kundisin are ba'aretz and they're down on the ground, and he puts chach, there's a machlok to Bianca with chacham, which is the same type of case like the emtzagag. So you could be medayik lechoyt, if it's vasagag, everybody would hold it as kosher, because you have the benefit of the good asik mechitsa. And if that's the case, let me tell you, tiyufta Rav Huna betarti. Let's say that Rav Huna on both ends of the coin, both sides of the coin.
Why not from the Gemara doesn't think that?
Well, let's get back to Rav Nachman in a moment. So what the Gemara is asking now is, since we have refuted half of what Rav Huna said, that there is no machloikis by emtza, but rather the machloikis avad ibn be emtza, there's a machloikis. So what would the Braisa hold by Gabi Svasagat? Since the Braisa is talking about Ba'aretz, not talking about Begag, and it says that the four condition is a machloikis, it would sound like that perhaps by the Svasagat, everybody would agree that it's kosher. Yet Rav Huna said, no, there's the machloikis. So the question is, of the Gemara, do we ask Akasha from the Braisa and shlug up Rav Huna betarti on both sides, both in Svasagag and in Emtsagag, or not? Let me tell you, if they did Rav Huna betarti. The truth of the matter is there's no difference. They argue in the middle. Of course, that's not what Rav Huna said initially. Rav Huna said, no, there's a big difference between Tzvasagag and Emtsagag. But now Rav Huna has to concede that their machloikis is in the middle of the gag as well. So to Rav Huna, no, the machloikis are in both the middle and the side. So why do they focus on Emtsagag? Why do they focus on Tzvasagag? To go and tell you, to go and stress and emphasize Rabbi Yankiv, that will be emtzagag nami machshir. If you're going to go and tell me the machloik is in tzvasagag, big deal. We all know the concept of good asik, good achis. We had it back in Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Erevin. You know, if you go into a mikveh and there's pink 40 saw, as long as one person is still standing in the mikveh, you deem all the water as if it's going down. We know these types of concepts from before. Therefore, Rabbi Yankiv says, I'm not only talking about good asik, I'm talking about even in the middle of the earth, in the middle of the gag. So therefore, the machloikis could be in both after all, and therefore Rav Huna says, you have no kash on me. Now Rabbi Yankiv asked a moment ago, why didn't we talk about this vis-a-vis Rav Nachman? We didn't talk about Rav Nachman because we didn't ask a kasha on Rav Nachman from the Braisa, because the Braisa supports Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that the machloik is be'emtza gag, and so said the Braisa too, because the Braisa is talking about ala oretz, which is the equivalent of be'emtza hagag. And so therefore Rav Nachman is fine. We didn't ask a kasha on him. Now that we have this Braisa that supports Rav Nachman, it could very well be that we can start clearing Nachmul. Would the Braisa only say it's a loch of emtza, or would it say al svasagag? Like the Gemara said before, and the Gemara remained with a teiku vis-a-vis Rav Nachman. Now, let's go back to the case of the four poles. And you remember the brother Shai asked about 2 minutes ago, do the poles serve any halachic function other than holding up the schach? And that's what the Gemara is going to go into right now. You put in these four poles into the ground, you put on schach. What is this all about? So you'll record by Sadak of Sechlis Erevin, we spoke about something known as a Pase Birois. What was a Pase Birois? They had people are going up to Eretz Israel, and they had to go and drink, and they had to be able to go and fish out the water, you draw the water from the bar, take it up to be able to drink and give it to your family and give it to the Lahavla, to the behemoth, etc. But the problem was that the water down below was one rishus and up above is another rishus. How can I unite them that on Shabbos I can be able to draw water from the bar down below and bring it up above? Stigmar said you don't have to make full-fledged mechitzas, after all only staying here for 24 hours. The Chum made a special rule of pasibirois. Pasibirois means you put four poles around, make sure it's not too far apart, and you deem those as if they're walls. Now, how do poles become walls? Sigmar says, if each one of those poles is wide enough in the circumference that were you to go and cut out the middle, you would have a right angle type of pole, where it extends both to the northern side and to the western side, and the next pole would be the northern side and the eastern side, and the other one would be the southern and the east, and the other one would be the southern and the west, so that you have four right angular poles. And the Gemara in Erevin required that the protrusion on each side be at least one amma. So I have one amma sticking in one direction, another amma from the other direction, another amma up, another amma down, etc. So on each side I have at least two ammas which are actually covered. If the poritz shear in between was not huge, the Gemara Masechtas Erevin talks about how much the space would have to be for four oxen, for eight oxen, going back and forth. Anyway, that's not our sugya. But the point is that there, at times the Chachamim were makel and allowed a pole that you could deem it. That's what Rabbi Yankov is doing. He's saying there are four poles. If the poles are flimsy little poles of just 1 inch diameter, forget about it. However, if the diameter or the circumference is such that if you chiseled out the middle of it, you can make it into a right angle type of pole, where it's sticking out one tefach in one direction, one tefach in the other direction, that would be sufficient to call it a shtickle wall, and that would be enough to go mitzaref the shtickle tefach sticking out one, the tefach from the other direction, tefach from the other direction. From all four sides I have tefachim which are coming out on each side, because I'm being chokek, not physically chokek, but virtually chokek. So again, that if you're going to go and chisel out the middle, the word dioimed is a Greek term. Dioi means two, and oimed means amudim. So it's dioi amudim, two amudim, one going to the north and one going to the east, and one and the other side to the south and to the east, etc. On all four sides. If you have one tefach is enough. The imlam ain't a done mishum diyoim b'chayav yankav oim diyoim b'sukkah tefach. The chum oim no. At yishtayim kilchos, and you have to have two proper walls, which means they have to be at least full walls, which means for our purposes seven tefachim long or seven amashu. Rashi said the shlishes can be a full tefach. Yeah, that third one could be even a tefach, but two of them have to be at least seven full walls. Now the obvious question is, how come over here by the diyoimdim are we allowing the kula of just one tefach, yet back in Masechtas Erevin, when we spoke about the Pasi Berois, you have to have a full amma in each direction. So the pole has to be much more massive so that you would have right and left and up and down, that you have an amma in each direction. Rashi asks this kasha, and Rashi says, because we're talking about Hilchas Shabbos in Erevin, Hilchas Shabbos is much more chomer. If we're talking about Hilchas Sukkah, it's more kal. If a person violates Shabbos, Chas Shalom is a skila, chorus, all types of problems.
It's a paket, and Sukkah is a dira you're living in. You need more zakah. Right?
That's part and parcel of the kasha of Rashi. She should have to have more, not less, because Shabbos is so much more chomer. Then you have to have a filu and amma. Over here, it's only you're going to be mevatel and mitzvah saseh, which is a terrible thing. But you're not chashu nishka skil and nishka koris. Chomer mekel and said even one of one tefach. But that's of course Rabbi Yankov. Rabbi Yankov chomer say chas v'sholim. You have to have two proper walls to be able to eat, to be able to sit, to be able to sleep. And the third one can be a filu tefach. So with this, we conclude right over here. Any questions, everybody? Say, hearing none. Miachem tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, bright and early. Look forward to Miachem to continuing to learn tomorrow morning.
I want
to
add it.
Baruch Hashem. Next
Sunday, Bishop Av, is there going to be a makeup share somewhere?
If we need to make a makeup share, we'll have to work it out. Are we missing a blot for next week?